I want to talk to y'all a little bit about 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at that. That's not bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 1. Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When everybody was giving their testimony, there were several mentions, the light came on. In other words, finally, at last, the light of this glorious gospel was able to shine forth past everything that all the walls and all of everything that Satan had put in front of us to keep us from being able to see this glorious gospel. Every one of us that are saved here today and every one of us that are not saved have one thing in common. We all have, the ones that are saved had, and the ones that ain't still have. We come to the Lord with a belief system. We all believed that what we had was some form of truth. And to us, it was truth that we didn't want to let go of. In other words, Wayne came to me and he brought this light to me. He shared the gospel with me time after time after time. I sat there and I listened to it and I would go, yeah, sounds pretty good. But I had, there was things in the way. I always believed in Jesus Christ. I always believed in God. I always believed that he came. I always believed that he died. I always believed that he was buried. I always believed that he was resurrected. So far, we're doing good. That's exactly what he was telling me. But I had one thing that stopped me from seeing what he was talking about, because I believed you had to be good, and you had to surely a God that you could worship. Surely, there's no way in the world that you could, he could give you this gift for free. There's something you had to do. And so he came, he preached, I listened, and I struggled with it. But at the time, what I had was, you know, about as good as what he had. You know what I'm talking about. So it's like, you know, why would I throw away what I got for what you got? And, you know, we went to Bible conferences, and, of course, there was a handful of people and, you know, more than a handful, but you compare this small church and this gospel to the world of knowledge, and the whole world tells you, you know, that Jesus Christ came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and be good. And God will find favor with you. And in the end, when you die, if the favor outweighs the unfavor, well, he will welcome you into heaven's gates, and there you sit. So anyway, as time went on, like I said before, God has a course for you. The Bible says we're all called, few are chosen. Well, if God has you in his sights, he's coming for you. And he's not going to let off until you come. In other words, he chose you because you chose him. I mean, it's a little, he chose you before the foundation of the world, knowing that you would choose him eventually. And so as time went on, things started happening. You know, this Bible right here, he brought to my house. And it's scratched off now, but me and my ex-wife's name was on it. He gave me the Bible. She walked out the room and said, if you think you're going to spend more time in that Bible than you are with me, I'm going to kick both of y'all out of this house. And it's like, whoo, I got to think about this one. So anyway, time went out, and she did. I ended up having to leave the house. But it wasn't for this. It wasn't for the Bible. It was because of Donald Verrett trying to be good. You find out real quick If you just look and pay attention, what you can't be good. There's no way in the world you could ever be good enough to stand in front of God Almighty and give a testimony of what you did in the flesh. Oh, I got three waters up here, but thank you. It's not that I need water. It might be, I don't know. But anyway, so time went on, and I came to a place in my life where it didn't matter anymore. I mean, I didn't really understand it. You know, I understood what Wayne was saying, but I didn't understand this Bible. I didn't know nothing about it. I'd go to church and pretty much just sit there and listen and come out and go. It just wasn't sinking in. It just wasn't going down. But finally, after months and months of trying to be good and trying to turn Donald Verrett into the person where, in other words, he'd be worthy of God's love, I came to a place that I realized if I were to die tonight, and it was night, that it wouldn't matter if I understood. I had been told, and I had been shown. And so there was no way I could be innocent in front of God. I was guilty, and I was guilty of everything he had said in this book. And so that night, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And like I said, there's nothing greater happened to me since, except Mary, finding that lady right there and marrying her. But in other words, like he said, I couldn't see that. Satan had blinded my eyes and had made me believe, gave me a belief that I thought was worthy. And I carried it around. I mean, I held on to it. And Wayne probably knows more about this than me, but you just don't want to let go of it. And anyway, I got saved. And, of course, you're all excited. And, you know, you can't wait to go out there and tell somebody. And then all of a sudden you realize that what he went through, you're going to go through. Ain't nobody wants to hear this truth. They're blinded. They're all blinded. They can't see it. They have no need for it. They're going to some fellowship, some church. They're sitting in some pew with some preacher telling them that they're okay. And you're telling them, no, you're not okay because you've never trusted. And, them words, trusted in Jesus Christ. And, you know, to be able to see the difference between believing that Jesus Christ came, believing it in here, knowing about it. I mean, I believed it. It really meant nothing to me. It was just a story told. But when you finally come to the place in your life where you see and you have a need, you realize what that word trust means. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and you surrender yourself over to him and you bring nothing with you because there's nothing about you that's worthy. But he says, and God, in verse 6, he says, for God, who commanded his light to shine out of darkness that shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. And he takes the whole thing away from us. It is God. It's God Almighty. But let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that vanity is exactly where I was. In other words, He goes on. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I mean, I've seen all that, but it was just vain. It was without a cause until the day I finally, these words came clear. The light came on, and it's like, my gosh, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And then you just stand in awe. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's see, starting verse 9. But as it is written, every eye has seen, I have not seen. No, buddy, some small print. Let me see if I can get down here. I had not seen, nor nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, for he himself is not judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, if you're sitting in here today and you have never seen this light, seen this glorious gospel, trusted in it, you are that natural man. And to you, you know, if you're sitting here, you're listening to the CD, to you, what I'm saying is absolute foolishness. Because basically, if you don't believe it, then you got to make pretty much claim it as foolishness. I don't need it. That's foolishness. I'm not having any part of it. Because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who had known the mind of Christ, the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct them? But we have that mind of Christ. We have that. Once you, Paul says, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Once this switch goes off, you ain't never going to be the same. It's unbelievable. You, in other words, I came out, put it bluntly, I came out the gate. I'm sitting over there working on a building, and I've run into two people that have one of the largest, it's a huge church on Greenville Springs Road, and they're up in my face. And it's like, you been saved? Yeah, I've been saved. Well, you know, they start telling me that I can lose it. And it's like, lose it? I just got it. I sure don't want to lose it. So anyway, like we was reading about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, they took the word and they handled it deceitfully. They were telling me that because of what I was, I could lose my salvation. And I hadn't really changed. I was still Donald Barrett. You know, the only thing I knew that was different about Donald Barrett, that I could look men in the face. And I had never been able to do that before in my life. Because as a lost man, you kind of walk around like this, especially if somebody's trying to share the gospel with you. And so what they, in other words, they were trying to take the things I had away from me. And the way they were doing that, Paul says in Galatians, he says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And that's exactly what I was confronted with. Right there, what I had just received, they were trying to tell me, oh, that's not good enough. Couldn't be that simple. Simply trusting Jesus Christ, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, and that he died for all my sins. They were trying to convince me that there was something I needed to do, something other. And it's this other gospel that they were trying to put me back under the law, which I probably didn't even totally realize that then. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul dealt with the same thing. He says in verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And that's what they were trying to tell me, that it can't be that simple, that you cannot just simply trust Jesus Christ and know you're going to heaven. There's something, you've got to start something or stop something, one or the other. You can't just believe that Jesus Christ came, died, and he paid for all my sins. That wasn't going to be good enough. Paul goes on to say, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And thank God, that man right there, he had the answers. I wasn't thrown out there in the wilderness by myself, confronted with these wolves. I could go to Wayne and tell him, you know, hey, I got some questions. I need some answers. And he was always there. In verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12, 13, I think is what I'm looking for. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into an apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed into as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And that's exactly what I was confronted with. I was confronted with they were false apostles, they were deceitful workers, and they transformed themselves into apostles of Christ. And they told me that they had the true light. In other words, that I didn't have the true light. And it's like, well, okay. But I had the true light. Because what I had seen, in other words, knowing what I knew, which wasn't a whole bunch, I was able to look them in the eye and go, nope, that's not the way it is. And I was able to try to convince them that they needed the true light. That is our ministry. That is what we are called to do. Paul says we have this ministry in earthen vessels. This light is in us, and it needs to come out. If you don't let it out, you can't put nothing else in. And so you just kind of more or less shrivel up, and you go somewhere, and you quit doing the work that God has called us to do. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's important that we share this light with a lost world, because that's the only hope they have is us. And to be able to see this truth, then they can rejoice with us when Jesus Christ comes back for his own, and we spend eternity with him in heaven. But if there's anybody here that has never trusted Jesus Christ, I pray that they do so today and just trust and believe that what he did at Calvary was payment for your eternal soul, and that what he gave you for trusting him is eternal life. And I love what Barbara said the other day. He's here so I can talk about you. But she said, we aggravated her to death. And I left here and it's like, well, that kind of makes sense. Except actually, we aggravated her to life. Now, you know, at the time, she thought we was just aggravating, I'm sure. But it was with a purpose, you know. Right. We want to go home, and if you're the last one, we're out of here. Anyway, like I said, we have a ministry. Paul said, for this cause, we have a cause, and that's because we are the light of the world. We are the hope that these people don't have. If we don't take it to them, it stops, it dies. So that's why you stand up here, and I've thought about this, you stand up here, and of course you look, y'all looking at me, I'm looking at y'all, and it's kind of like I'm talking down to y'all. I'm standing higher, so I must be talking down. But I'm not talking down. We all have a calling. We all have a purpose. And if we all do our job, then it's just easier for everybody. And like Paul said, I think it's 1 Corinthians where he talks about, anyway, if we go out and plant the seed, I think it's in 1 Corinthians somewhere, but verse 3 is one. But anyway, if we do our job, and that's just to plant the seed of faith in somebody, it might be 10 years before we see that seed sprout. But the Word of God does not go out vain, and we can't be discouraged by what we see. We can only do what we're called to do and know that he is God and that he will give the increase if we just plant the seed. I just want to thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for listening to me, and thank y'all for supporting me.